In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Everyone, this is episode number 36 of the Android Buffet Podcast. With me now here is, as always, my co-host, Jerry Jones.
Hey folks, welcome to tonight's episode of Mystery Science Theater 3000. I don't know why, but that voice you were just using, that made me think of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Would you like me to use a different voice?
No, I think it's fine.
I thought I had a nice voice.
I'm not saying it was a bad voice, dude. Calm down.
Okay.
So, what are we...
Well, we're recording...
Today was a big day.
Yes, we're recording
it's
on
Tuesday.
Because of the launch of the Amazon App Store.
Which, have you installed it?
I did.
I did, too.
For some odd reason, I was up at 5 o'clock in the morning and had nothing better to do.
Well, come on now. Installing the Amazon App Store is not a bad thing to do.
Yes, but I just happened to be up, so I installed an app store, and I downloaded Angry Birds Rio to the Nook Color.
Ooh, that seems like fun.
Yeah, well, I didn't play it, but I figured it won't be free forever, and at some point I might want to play it. After I get around to playing Angry Birds and Angry Birds Seasons.
No, you don't need to wait for that. You can play Angry Birds Rio without having to play the earlier ones.
I know, I'm just saying I haven't really gotten around to... getting my angry bird on. But before we get to that, we have some listener mail.
Ooh, mail. I know. We got a bunch of people get all upset about our last episode, right? Squirrel was just way too far off the beaten path and was unacceptable, right?
Well, actually,
is that what it was?
Actually, no. We got a very positive comment on Squirrel. Just to read it here from CJ. Squirrel, great episode. Enjoyed the discussion. Would enjoy a monthly off-topic show where you discussed whatever comes up. Listen to a podcaster, off-air now, who sometimes discussed things going on that interested him. Was a great monologue. Saw rumor that the both Atrix and Zoom coming to Sprint, and also Nexus S. If true, any of them tempt Jerry away from his Evo? I'm sorry, CJ, if I didn't sound like you in that dramatic rendition.
I don't... See, Sprint, okay, if you have an Android phone and live under a rock, you may not know that CTIA is going on down in Orlando. And today, Sprint, well, Tuesday, the day we're recording, so for me today, for you it might be yesterday, but, or maybe even a week ago. Shoot, heck, it could be 3 months ago. Well, anyway, for me today... As a non-time traveler, Sprint's announcement was today, and they announced the HTC Evo 3D.
Don't forget the other thing that was announced by Google.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yes.
If I had to pick between the Nexus and the 3D, I'm probably going to go with the 3D, and I would probably leave the screen in 2D. But a 1.2 gigahertz dual-core processor, a higher resolution screen. They're kicking it at 960 by 540, I believe. Quite nice. I think I'd be forced to go with the 3D.
Well, what will you do with your Evo then?
I'll keep it for development. Mm-hmm.
You'll give it plenty of love and make sure to take it out and touch it once a day.
We are still talking about my phone, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll give it to my daughter. She likes playing Angry Birds on it. So, the other thing that they announced, which I really liked, was the HTC Evo View, which is basically a 7-inch tablet.
Gotta love the tablet.
Gotta love the tablet. Now, it says it's got a 1.5 gigahertz processor, but it doesn't say if it's dual core or not, which would seem kind of odd. I would expect it to be dual core, but I haven't seen anything that said it.
So what's Honeycomb Sense going to be like?
I don't know. They, apparently, View does not even have Honeycomb on it. The Evo View does not even have Honeycomb on it yet.
These things will come.
Yeah, it's in the announcement. They said it was going to get it as soon as it can. But the things I like about the View, it has a huge battery. It has a touch screen and a resistive screen. So, I mean, it comes with a stylus.
Wouldn't that make it wouldn't it be a capacitive stylus, or they're actually using a resistive screen?
I saw something that said it was a resistive screen. It was a capacitive and resistive screen.
I wonder how that works.
Because it's not, looking at the stylus, it's not one of those. Have you ever seen the capacitive styluses?
I have one here I got for $3.
Yeah, the point of it is a little, it's big and fluffy kind of.
Yes.
This stylus is pointy, like a normal stylus.
Well, maybe it's exciting new stylus technology.
Maybe, but I'm pretty sure I saw in one of the press releases something about it being resistive.
Well, we'll have to look into that at a future date.
Got a big old nice resolution on it. 1024 by 600.
Okay.
I like it. I believe I've said before that if I get a tablet, I'm hoping it's going to be an HTC tablet, because I am very impressed with their hardware.
So should I get a Thunderbolt? LTE phone on Verizon? Made by HTC, if you missed that.
Yeah, I just...
And apparently the LTE is killing the battery.
Yeah, 4G does on the Evo as well.
And they don't have a switch to turn it off.
Oh, really?
Well, there's some hacks that they've done to turn it off, but apparently there's no widget or anything you can enable or disable.
Huh. You have to I'm go sure into they'll a, be out soon.
You have to go into a secret programming screen.
On the Evo, I turn 4G on whenever I want it, because, yeah, it drains the batteries like nobody's business.
Well, I'm sure they'll solve that, especially since Verizon...
I don't know if they're going to solve the battery, but they'll probably solve the switch thing.
Well, they might solve the battery thing. They want to move voice calls to LTE so they can do dual data voice. You know that thing that people keep saying that other networks can do that CDMA can't?
Okay, the reason I'm quiet is because I thought LTE was going to bring that anyway.
Yeah, but it means I know LTE on my has Evo, to be on.
When I have 4G turned on,
yes.
Then when I'm on a voice call, I can still access data.
Yes, but the problem is that's what's killing the battery, so they need to solve that problem overall. How can they go and preserve battery life and still have the speeds and information that they want?
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I know in the Evo 3D, they did put in a bigger battery.
Well, that's necessary if you have a bigger screen, you have faster speed.
And I don't think it's actually a bigger screen. It is faster battery. It is a faster
A higher resolution processor. Screen, excuse me.
Yeah.
But anyway, shall we move on to a few more pieces of mail?
Can we stay with Sprint? Okay, yeah, let's do mail. Let's finish mail.
We'll come back to Sprint, I promise.
Okay. So Chris in Chicago says, hey guys, I just wanted to say that... He wanted to say something, but it got mixed up in my tongue. Okay. Hey guys, I just wanted to say I enjoy the format of your podcast. I used to be an Android user, Nexus 1 and S, but I've moved on to the iPhone 4, and I still listen each week. Keep up the good work. Chris in Chicago.
Now that's dedication. You've given up Android and you still listen to an Android-themed podcast. I think you deserve an extra special thank you.
So Chris, what did you do with your Nexus S and your Nexus 1? And why would you go to the iPhone 4 after those? Okay, maybe there's a slight condescending tone, but I really would like to know what moved you over to the iPhone 4 after having the Nexus is Nexi? What's the plural of Nexus?
Maybe it is Nexi.
Okay, and one more mail.
Do you want me to read this one?
No, I'll do it.
Okay.
Do you know of any MP3 player or podcast player that allows x2 speed playback mode for podcast? This is easy on the iPhone and was easy on Windows Mobile.
Do we? I've never tried 2x two speed playback.
And I know why, but... It doesn't change the answer any.
Okay.
The why is if most podcast players just use the built-in services from Android for playing back their audio and video and such, they don't have built-in decoders, and the the Android supplied decoders are not capable of squishing or stretching the audio. So if somebody wants to offer that, then they have to incorporate their own decoders and audio processing. And realistically, they're going to have to do it in natively if they want to keep up. So
that's hard for a single feature.
Yeah. And that's pretty much all it would get you is the ability to speed up. I mean, there's not much other benefit to having direct access to the stream.
But I have to ask you, are you still using Dogcatcher?
Yes, I am.
Did you hear that over the weekend, Dogcatcher was discounted by half, and the proceeds were going to the Japan Relief Fund?
No, I did not.
I thought that was very nice of them. If I hadn't already given them money, I would have given them money now.
You know, O'Reilly's doing the same thing.
I better get to those books before the end of the night.
Yeah.
You have any recommendations?
I guess this really doesn't help anybody listening to the podcast, but yeah. All of O'Reilly's books are half off, and all of the proceeds, are except for author royalties, go to the Japanese Red Cross.
Yeah, it's actually up on my screen. I just came in a little while ago, just before we started, ate something, yeah, and came directly to this podcast. So I will shortly go and look and see what I might want to buy.
I found a few, but I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, I'll go through at least.
Give I mean, some. Half off and for a good cause. That's kind of hard to...
And they're ebooks, which can be
read
on your...
Yeah, no, it just sucks.
You can read them on your electronic reader device.
Maybe if I get a view, ebooks will bug me less, but I'm still...
I have a Kindle. I'm very happy with ebooks right now.
Yeah. I still like big old thick paper. Just kill a bunch of trees. Give me a book.
I just sold...
Which is odd, considering my...
I just sold two of my books to a friend and repurchased them in Kindle format. I need the space for more books. Moving along, we have some interesting news. Google introduced the Nexus S4G for Sprint, the first CDMA Google Experience phone, which Jerry will not get.
No, right now it looks like my next phone will be an Evo 3D.
Okay. As a side note to that, Google Voice teamed up with Sprint. Sprint customers will be able to use their existing Sprint mobile number as their Google Voice number and have it ring multiple other phones simultaneously. It gives Sprint customers all the benefits of Google Voice without the need to change or port their number. Google Voice users can choose to replace their Sprint number with their Google Voice number when placing calls or sending text messages from their Sprint handset. International calls made from Google Voice users' Sprint phones will be connected by Google Voice. I just want to know how they pulled that off. That's a marketing coup there.
Well, basically, now, sadly, this is not available yet. But basically, you go into Google Voice, and you say you want to port your phone, and you port your phone number over, so it becomes a Google Voice phone number. Now, I don't know. Normally, if you were to do that now, what would happen is your mobile device, your service would be terminated, right?
Yes, although you can arrange it so that you get a new number with the wireless provider. Well, I saw several articles on that. You just have to advise the wireless provider of that.
Well, it's going to be similar to that, except for now all of the phone calls in and out will be routed through Google Voice. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to affect mobile-to-mobile calls. On Sprint, it is common to have... free mobile-to-mobile, and I don't know if the Sprint thing is going to affect that at all, or the Google Voice thing.
Well, I'm sure they'd have to work it out by now.
I know
that... That would be important.
They talk about their long-distance or international calls going through Google Voice. The price to call Canada through Google Voice is $0, so that means Sprint customers would have free international calls to Canada.
Let's see. Very interesting idea. Do you call Canada a lot?
Not now, but my day job, a large component of the company is in Montreal. I had to go on a trip up there.
Yes. Have you learned the Canadian national anthem?
Dude, don't make me reach through this microphone and slap you.
If you could do that, I'll be very impressed, though. I won't try to make you do that, but I'd be very impressed if you could do that.
Zero desire to.
Reach through the microphone and strangle me, or...
And the really nice thing is the calls you make,
yes,
they show up With the Google Voice number.
Yes, and right now you can do all this, but it's not supported by the carrier. It's sort of
right
a secondary.
For you to do it through Google Voice. You have to use the Google Voice app, and this Google Voice thing is going to. You don't have to have a smartphone. You can have a dumb phone, or I'm sorry, a feature phone, and still use Google Voice.
I think this is going to be very interesting once we see all the details.
Now, one of the gotchas was that it was with the messaging. It seems like it really depends on how the SMS leaves your phone. If it leaves your phone inside the Google Voice app, then it goes over data, so it doesn't count against any messaging. However, if the phone sends it out via a normal SMS, then it would count against whatever limits you have.
Now, I don't see why Sprint agreed to this. I'm trying to figure out not anything other than what's in it for Sprint. I see what the benefit is to Google Voice, but what is Sprint getting out of it?
What are they losing?
Potential for money.
How?
Overage charges, fees for connecting international calls, roaming charges, etc.
Well, okay, let's be honest. Nobody calls international on their cell phone unless they've already got a plan worked out because, expensive. And overage charges on what?
The roaming charges.
If you make a phone call and you're not in a Sprint area, you'll still get charged for roaming.
More people using Google Voice honestly means more people will try to avoid charges.
Okay,
that but... Sprint could levy. So I'm wondering what they're...
Right, but what charges? The
you don't think that this will
MMS the vast majority, I believe, of
well MMS doesn't work over Google Voice, which is something of a complaint.
Right.
SMS does, but not MMS.
Right. Now, any of the charges you would get around by using the Google Voice app, or the Google Voice app, most of their plans have unlimited messaging just built in, so they're not losing anything on that.
Well, that's interesting. As I said, I'm just not figuring out what they're gaining. If you're saying they're minimizing...
Great service, great press, users from people who are Google Voice users who would like a better integration with their cell phone.
I will hold out judgment on that. Because I may just be paranoid about it, but I'm almost convinced there's something we're missing.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just my natural skepticism.
I think it's your jealousy because you're a Verizon user.
Yes, Verizon is too busy tiering my data plan and related things, taking away my new every two. But they're my cell phone provider for now.
You know, Sprint's, when Sprint says unlimited, they actually mean unlimited.
Yes, didn't we discuss that?
I didn't know if you remembered that Sprint as a telephone carrier, you know, completely rocks.
I'm not going to argue about the potential benefits of Sprint. I think there are a lot of advantages to Verizon. Of course, Verizon also rules with an iron fist, so.
Yeah, if you're in an area that does not have good Sprint coverage, then absolutely, but beyond that.
Of which there are many that I happen to enter.
I'm so sorry, dude.
Yeah. Moving along, there was a great article, How Mobile Devices Are Changing Community Information Environments. Did you know that nearly half of all American adults, 47%, report that they get at least some local news and information on their cell phone or tablet computer? 42% of mobile device owners report getting weather updates, and 37% get material about restaurants or other local businesses on their phones or tablets. Fewer get news about local traffic and transportation, general news alerts, or other local topics. Just 13% of all mobile device owners report having an app that helps them get local information or news, which represents 11% of the total American adult population. Thus, while almost half of adults get local news on mobile devices, just 1 in 10 use apps that do so. Just 10% of adults who use mobile apps to connect to local news and information pay for those apps. This amounts to 1% of all adults. Overall, 36% report paying for some form of local news, the vast majority paying for local print newspaper subscriptions.
Where does 1 in 3 adults pay for a newspaper?
Apparently so.
According Not in this to, town.
Do you have a newspaper?
Yes.
Not every town does. What is it called?
Times Union.
Okay. Is it a popular newspaper?
It's the major Jacksonville newspaper.
So it's popular in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not everything. For example, as you may have heard over the last week, the people at the New York Times, which is read everywhere, including Jacksonville, decided to put up a subscription program, which has generated
good luck
a lot
with that.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other podcast, I think. I could spend 30 minutes just arguing about that and why it may or may not be a good idea and how they implemented it or how they will be implementing it. But basically, some papers people buy. People buy the Wall Street Journal in overwhelming numbers, and that's not a local paper. That's a national paper. So you may not factor that in.
I don't know. I'm not.
But how do you get your news, Jerry? Do you get your news on your mobile device?
I guess technically. Over Twitter and podcast. Mostly podcast.
Okay. Well, which podcasts provide you with your news?
Buzz Out Loud, Security Now. Those are pretty much the only two I'm listening to right now.
So who tells you about your local news? For example, that traffic light on First Street in Jacksonville, if there is a First Street in Jacksonville that people want to put in.
I don't hear about it.
Okay. Have you heard that the United States sent some missiles to Libya?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that on your mobile device?
Actually, I did. Twitter.
Okay. So that's Twitter. So you get your news from Twitter, which is certainly now. But it's just interesting.
I don't think that really counts as an. I think that I would still be in the 87? Yeah, 87% that I don't have an app that gets me local information or news, but it comes through an app.
Well, yeah, it comes through, but remember what happens once you. Most of the links people tweet are to newspapers and blogs. So you're ultimately going to go through, if you do read a story on it rather than just reading the tweet, you're going to go to some news site.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting how people are getting their news through mobile devices in increasing numbers, one way or another. And their weather. Weather's
important. Yeah, well, weather just shows up on the front page.
Well, that's if you have Beautiful Widget, or if you have HTC Sense, which I think does it, or if you put the news and weather widget from Google. But I know that my mother, who I hold up as the example of a typical non-technical Android user, has the Weather Channel app running, and she constantly checks to see what the weather is.
Yeah, my mother would do the same thing.
And not just where she is. She checks where the weather is where she isn't.
Right.
So she's in Florida right now. I sent her back this morning at 4 a.m., which is why I was up at 5. And she will check the weather here and tell me, it's going to rain tomorrow, you should take an umbrella. She'll check the weather where other members of my family live. She'll check the weather where there currently aren't anybody in the family, but she wants to know what the weather's like there.
All right.
So some people are just obsessive about the weather, which is why it surprises me that the Weather Channel is no longer successful and has to put movies on. Because I think there are people who would just watch the weather all day.
Yes.
That's why my mother got cable. Originally. Yes.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I completely understand.
I benefited from that.
Still funny.
I benefited from that, so I can't complain. Then she discovered New York One, which is the local New York-only news station. Have you ever seen any clips of that?
No.
They have a guy who reads the newspaper on television.
Really?
Yes. In fact, he got so much notoriety for this, he started up a website where he reads the rest of the newspapers. He calls it Pat's Papers. His name is Pat Kiernan.
Okay.
He's been lampooned on television a few times for this. But I think that's a fairly good job. You read the newspaper to people and tell people what you see in the newspaper. Anyway, moving along. Google is said to be preparing near-field communication trials for San Francisco and New York. Good for them. I don't have a near-field communication phone, but maybe someday I will. Yeah. AT&T is going to acquire T-Mobile USA from Deutsche Telekom, apparently for just under $40 billion. Subject to regulatory approval. So that's one
less carrier. If I'm quiet, it means I have no comment. I just...
That's one less carrier and some less competition. And remember, competition is good. Even if you don't care about T-Mobile and you don't care about AT&T, there's still competition for whoever you do care about.
I just wonder if that means GSM is going to be the oddball out now.
Hard to say.
At least here in the States.
Well, that's sort of surprising because it's the world standard.
Yeah.
But Verizon is going to LTE, and eventually they're going to have to deprecate CDMA
mm-hmm.
in favor of it. I don't know. What is Sprint going to do in the long term? Are they going to deprecate CDMA?
We'll see. I mean, these are massive installations that
will take decades to fully. Yeah. And, how long did it take them before they got rid of analog?
I actually have no idea.
I think it's no, it took them a while. They started at the end, they started buying people new phones who wouldn't switch and said, we're giving you a free phone. If you don't like it, we'll terminate your service.
Well, you know, it makes sense to me.
Well, it's the same thing that you've probably experienced this with digital cable. The companies are required to maintain a certain level of analog cable unless for a certain number of years, unless everybody agrees to switch to digital. So they started giving them free boxes, except they didn't explain that after a couple of years they'd start charging for the free boxes. So essentially they wean them onto that digital and then they jack up the fees. It's sort of like a drug dealer. Anyway, analogies about drug dealing aside, our big piece of news, the Amazon App Store launched with that free copy of Angry Birds Rio at launch.
And also, I would like to also point out that they are charging for Angry Birds and Angry Birds Seasons.
But they are ad-free.
Yes, which is now all the people who said, I would pay for an ad-free version of Angry Birds get to put up or shut up.
Well, it's one of the top apps in the market. Of course, the market really hasn't much time to get top apps, so I sort of think that's a bit skewed right now. But I downloaded my copy of Angry Birds Rio, even though I have other Angry Birds to worry about. And I think the app market looks very nice.
It does. I love the way you can actually change the sorting or the sorting, and you can filter the list of apps when you're in categories.
Well, remember, Amazon, whatever you can say about them, is really good at selling things. That's their business.
Roger that.
Google isn't really in a sales business. It's always been a bit of a clutch for them. There is one downside, though.
Which is?
Well, you have to keep in mind that, one, AT&T customers, unless they have a side load workaround, cannot install this. In fact, if you look on Amazon, they actually have a link where you can sign up to be notified once AT&T comes up with a solution to get the App Store onto your phone.
You know, just Android or AT&T is not very friendly towards Android, are they?
Well, they've become more so only because they've lost iPhone exclusivity. So they have motivation to compete, which they didn't before that. But other than that, there were a few things that I saw that I found a little annoying.
Really?
Well, I installed the app first on my Nook, and then I moved and installed it on my Droid. Now, when I was with the Nook, I tried installing something that said that it was exclusively for tablets. And being the Nook is a tablet, I wanted to see how it looked. When I installed it on the Droid, it tried to install those programs automatically, even though it was an entirely different device. So I kept having to cancel it. So it asked, "Can I want to install these apps?" And I said, "Cancel." But I may have to do that again. So essentially, it's not isolating the different device IDs and not trying to install the same apps to each.
Makes sense.
Which is, admittedly, the web market for the Google Android market does do that.
Right.
So we'll
I
see.
think it's probably just an oversight and it'll be fixed fairly quickly.
Yeah, because I don't think I could successfully install a tablet app on my phone. Or I probably could successfully install it. I don't think it would successfully run, thus negating the purpose of it. Moving along, Apple has decided to sue Amazon over the use of the term App Store.
And why not?
Well, I just don't understand why the government allows people to patent or trademark generic concepts. It's a store where they sell apps. What do you expect them to call it?
Well,
Jerry, I've decided to patent the word developer. You can no longer call yourself that.
No, that would be like Steve Ballmer.
Facebook patenting the word or trademarking the word face and the word book, which I believe they've tried to do. So if you want to use the word face, you may be accused of trademark infringement by Facebook. Anyway, moving along from
Yeah,
the.
I can tell that really annoys you, doesn't it?
Well, it annoys me that no one's saying this is completely ridiculous. Why are we letting these companies do it? Somebody's approving these stupid things. Who do we have in the trademark and patent offices? Is that where all of the political cronies go? Anyway, moving along, Google released new market statistics for developers.
Yep.
So if you want to know how your app is doing, they'll tell you.
Which is cool.
In app news, version 10.2 of Adobe Flash is now available. It offers support for dual-core devices, improved soft keyboard support, and rendering changes to improve the way Flash content is displayed in browser windows. Virgin Mobile USA released its app, with streaming music, video, and more. Songbird 1.0 for Android was released, which is a music player, which you may or may not like.
It's supposed to, I don't know, Songbird's been out for a while for the PC.
Yeah.
And the main attraction of it was that it let you use an iPod without starting up iTunes.
Not a bad thing.
No, it wasn't.
But they've decided to make an Android version. It looked nice in the pictures. I'm going to have to give it a shot. I've been using PowerAmp, which I think is a nice enough player. But I'll give Songbird a shot when I get a chance. In other news, a Netflix APK was leaked. It doesn't work. That's all I'm saying. I have nothing more to say on the subject. There was a Museum of Modern Art app released. It lets you browse through collections, send snapshots, get information on current exhibits, and take multimedia tours. So you don't have to go to MoMA. MoMA can be wherever you happen to be.
There was an ad about that had a line, something like that.
There's an app for that. No, excuse me, I can't say that. Apple will come after me.
No, it was something else. It was, I can't remember.
Okay, Springboard was something else. SpringPad updated its Android app. It looks good. I'm going to have to try SpringPad again.
You know, I got an email from Evernote just the other day.
They miss you?
Yeah, apparently. You know, you haven't created any new notes in a while.
Are you alive? Can do. You know, I get that from Netflix. I tried it for a month, and they said they want me back. They never had me. You know, they don't try to sweeten the pot. It's not, if you come back, we'll give you $1 off for a month. It's, just come back. We'll give you the same price you never paid before. Anyway, I wanted to talk about something I bought this week.
Yeah, what'd you buy?
A Bluetooth keyboard, and I connected it to my tablet. So I want to see if I have a chance to record a little video where you can see me using a Bluetooth keyboard with a Nook Color.
And?
It's like a computer, only smaller.
Really?
Well, a little tiny keyboard, but I could get a bigger one, I suppose. But essentially, you put the screen on an angle. I have a little stand, which I think you've seen.
Yeah.
And I have the stand, and I put the little keyboard in front of it, and I can type. Now, since the Nook Color is using a nightly build, Bluetooth support was just recently unveiled, and it continues to get better. So it's not perfect. But I was able to type out my favorite test sentence. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog.
But of course.
Isn't that the first thing people type on keyboards to test them?
Yeah, and no.
Okay.
Or at least it's not the first thing I type.
What is the first thing you type when you test a keyboard?
Int main open parentheses int argc comma char star space argv open bracket close bracket and...
Okay. I just type a quick sentence to see how fast I can type on the keyboard.
That's sentence for me.
But I will see about putting together a little video or at least some pictures. I've been incredibly busy lately with life.
It happens.
Yeah, I'm hoping to be less busy, but, you know, things pop up. And I've just decided that I may attend a convention within the next few weeks.
Really? Which one?
I'm thinking of attending the first annual Northeast Linux Fest, which is one single day in Worcester, Massachusetts. Since there are no Northeast Linux Fests that I'm aware of, I think that this is a valuable thing that I have to support, even if it means I unfortunately have to go to Worcester, Massachusetts.
Sorry.
It's a long drive where ultimately I'm going to sit there and listen to people talk, turn around, and come back. So it's not necessarily convenient, but I want to support the event.
I can completely understand that.
In fact, Jared Wilson, who was the person who wrote the instructional document that introduced me to Myth TV, is going to be there lecturing on Linux home theater PCs.
Wow.
Yes, as well as why I think there's a lecture on why should software be free. I just hear the unhappiness about free software.
No, I don't mind free software.
Yes.
It's just software, in my opinion, is a creation of the person who created it. And it is their right and responsibility to determine if it's going to be free or not. And you're an evil person if you... Well, whatever.
I don't go that far. I prefer open to free.
You know, some people do.
Well, you know, for me, open is not making it difficult for people to do things with your product. That's how I define open.
When I define company, open the way everybody else does. The source code is available.
No, that would be open source. There's a difference between open and open source.
Well, when most people say that software should be open, what they mean is it should be open source.
For me, I go with the looser definition that nobody should be telling me what it is I can and cannot do with what ultimately ends up as my property, other than give it to other people, which I'll accept is the right of the person who originally created it to tell me I can't give away, unless I'm ceding my own personal right to it, my property.
You believe in the doctrine of first sale.
Why not?
No, I agree.
Yeah. And I believe that things should be built on standards that are clearly defined, which is open standards. So I may not necessarily know how my software works, but I can still work with it, like a black box. I can send something in and know what it's supposed to send me out without knowing how it got there. Maybe that's naive, but I feel very strongly about a certain way of doing things, which is not necessarily open source. And I like open source software. I use open source software.
Oh, we all do.
That doesn't mean that I think it's the only way. I just think that when people impose all of these artificial limits on essentially something that they've wanted you to purchase from them, then what are you purchasing other than a license? Well, look at DRM in general, which we were arguing about last week. If I buy a piece of music or if I buy a video, somebody has prescribed for me what I can do with it and pretty where much. I can put it. As long as I'm not giving it to other people, why is it their business?
Yep.
Which is sort of the point. If they want to get me for giving my stuff to other people who didn't pay for it, fine. But if they're telling me I can't use it in a certain room or I can't use it on a certain device because they're afraid that somebody else might pirate it?
Pretty much.
Why do they have to restrict my life because of a fear of non-law-abiding citizens? So they've made my life miserable because of a few criminals. Well, actually, yep. DRM hasn't made my life miserable, only difficult. But moving along, I decided to prepare a few things of interest for Developers Corner, because I wasn't sure with your schedule and my busy schedule if we'd be able to get anything official. So there was a question that was posted in an article. Cloud data backup has existed in Android since Froyo, so why isn't anybody using it? I thought that was a good question.
Because it's unreliable.
Okay.
And I don't mean that the cloud backup is unreliable. I mean that Froyo is still not the... It's still not... Okay. Programmers tend to develop towards a set minimum.
More people are using Froyo than any other version of
Android. Right, but there's still a large portion that are still using Eclaire.
Very good.
So the majority of developers that I've talked to, and it makes sense from, you know, being a developer, that... Every now you set a level that you develop for, and in Android it's 2.1. You develop so that it runs on 2.1. If the feature is not available in 2.1, you work around it. You deal with it. Maybe in a year or so, it'll move. That level will move up to, you know, 3.0. But those levels don't move up one level at a time. They tend to make jumps.
It's just a feature I would like. I hate every time I wipe my phone to have to restore stuff manually. I would love it if my data for programs was in the cloud. Especially Dog Catcher. That one really annoys me. Although it does have a backup function. I'd love it if it did cloud backup. Note to self, write the Dog Catcher guy.
I see it in Windows all the time. Right now we are just now getting to where you develop at an XP at an XP level. For the longest time, you still had to develop for
98.
Not 98, but 2000.
Not ME.
I don't think anybody ever developed for ME.
Probably right. I still regret buying a copy of ME, but I regret a lot of things about my Windows days. Although I did recently consider buying a copy of Windows 7.
It's a great app. Or it's a great operating system.
Well, you know, it's more of a practical thing. I feel that I need to know about Windows 7, even if I don't use it in my daily life as a tech person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I'm falling behind the curve by not having at least one test computer where I can play with it and become familiar with it.
Could be.
In fact, that actually possibly helped me back earlier today when I returned somebody's computer to them after fixing it for them, which gave me the chance, by the way, to try Square.
Yeah?
Yes, I actually took payment with the little square reader on the top of my Droid.
And?
It worked seamlessly. There's only one thing I have to get around to doing.
What's that?
Associating a bank account with the Square account I set up so I can actually extract the money from Square.
Yep.
That's probably an important part I should have remembered to do, but the money's there. They charged me $1 service fee on a $40 charge.
It's not bad.
The person who essentially paid me got an invoice by email, and I got an acknowledgement in my email. They essentially, just to go over what the process was, I stuck the little square thing on there. I ran the app. I put in the amount. I swiped their card. They signed on my screen with their finger, and then I entered
in. That's
so cute. Yeah, then I entered in their email address. So it was a seamless process. And all I need to do is right now is figure out how I can find more people I want to take money from, or rather, more people who want to give me money by credit card.
That's always the catch, isn't it?
In person, by the way. Because if they're not giving it to me in person, I can use something other than the Square reader. Although we do have that whole tip jar thing and the flatter and all that that people keep asking about. And
I'm is it set up?
I'm going to have to set it up as soon as possible. I'll try to get us flatter and PayPal. And we do actually have a PayPal account for the Winnica Media Group, which you are, of course, welcome to use.
We do?
I have one. I just have to set up those donate buttons and all that.
Can I use it for... I was going to buy some books at O'Reilly. Can I use it for that?
Well, currently it won't let me send money to anyone because it's not associated with a bank account, nor have I set up a credit card. So essentially it's just an empty account, so I have to set up something. Did you know you can't send money to other people without having a bank account? PayPal will not let you send money to other PayPal users without a bank account associated with your PayPal account.
I did not know that.
Because I figured I have a personal PayPal account. I figured if I set up a generic one, I could just send the money to you, send the money to anybody else involved, and it would never do anything but just stay in the account long enough for it to be a collective clearinghouse.
Right.
But it won't let you do that.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, it won't let you associate two PayPal accounts to the same bank account.
Right.
So I have to figure out what to do about that. Because I have money in a PayPal account I can't get out without, and I'm not paying them to write me a check.
But you said you have your own PayPal account?
Yes.
You can transfer from one PayPal account to another.
No, you can't. This is what I discovered. I didn't notice this until they wouldn't let me take the money out. You cannot send money to another PayPal account unless you have your sending limit increased from zero, and you can't do that without a bank account.
Wow. Okay.
So I found a solution.
What's that?
I have a second bank account, which I never use for deposits or withdrawals. But I will use just for the purpose so that it thinks that it has a bank account so that I can send money in and out of this account.
Hmm.
So I hooked it up to an account that I never use.
Interesting.
At some point, I may have to get a bank account for the Winnica Media Group. But considering we're not really a money-making enterprise, I've never really gotten around to it. Someday I hope we could. My goal is for us to break even.
Have you met that goal so far?
Some months not. And even if we actually do go over a little, I pour it back into the business. So it's not so much a business as a non-profit. But, you know, if someday it made enough money to employ me, I wouldn't complain. But to be honest, it's mostly just me, you, and a bunch of other people indulging their habits and trying not to lose too much money on the deal. That's why we're a group and not a corporation.
I know I'm having fun.
Yes. And, maybe we should expand into that new and exciting spin-off program. I think I have the perfect name for it.
What's that?
How about Flying Bathtubs?
Flying Bathtubs?
Why not?
Flying Bathtubs?
Yes. I have a very good reason.
I gotta hear it.
I own the domain name.
Flying Bathtubs.
Yes.
Bat or bath?
Bath. B-A-T-H.
Oh, okay. Flying Bathtubs. That's makes... not much more sense than I was thinking, you know, bat tubs.
What's a bat tub?
I don't know. It's what Batman takes a bath in, I guess. I don't know.
But if we're going to have a show where we talk about random things, I thought it should have a random title.
Flying Bat Tubs. I like it.
Yeah, I think it has nice imagery.
And it certainly makes the logo design much easier.
Yes. Now, not only do we need somebody who can draw us a flying bathtub logo, if we have any volunteers on the Flying Bathtub logo, and you're welcome to contact us. But now we can figure out some innovative slogan. And of course, very important to me, I don't have to pay for another domain because I technically already own that one.
Getting you where you need to go cleanly.
How about you get a little dirty?
For those times when you're getting a little dirty. Okay. Wait a minute, we don't ever get dirty.
No, we're not really dirty people. So if you
speak
have an
for
idea
for yourself, man, but
yeah. Well, I'm saying
I just try and keep it clean here on the podcast.
I'm saying we don't get dirty on the podcast. I wasn't saying that we don't occasionally get dirty outside of the podcast.
Oh, which reminds me, I need to go out and dig a hole. I got to put up a new mailbox.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to dig a new hole for some other reason. Okay.
What other reason would I possibly have to dig a hole?
Excuse me, there are many good reasons for digging a hole.
What?
Disposing of bodies. You needed the dirt for something. Building a swimming pool.
That's where you went to. That's the first place your brain went was digging a hole. You must have a body to dispose of.
Well, I'm sorry. I hate digging holes.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Anyway, if you have an idea for a slogan, logo, or anything else, other than the silly name that I thought was unique and a great opportunity to use a domain I already had, thank you for not asking Jerry why I own flyingbathtubs.com, because I have absolutely no idea. You would not believe what domains we've accumulated over the years and half-baked ideas for future websites that somebody in the group has had. And at some point in the future, we'll have the first episode, or actually, are we going to number it episode 1 or episode 0?
I'm sorry?
Are we going to call it episode 1 or episode 0? Because the first episode of Android Buffet was 0.
Right, but that's because it's, you know, we wanted to do development stuff in here, and I don't foresee us, you know, talking about development stuff because, you know, you're not very much fun to talk about development stuff to.
I listen, though, and I find it very fascinating.
Right, but
I can't communicate on that level.
I might as well be talking to a brick wall. You know, a great listener, but, you know, the transfer of ideas is not there.
I understand the concepts. So it's a one-way transfer is what I feel.
Yeah.
Because I can't give as well as I receive in that area.
You know what? That's okay.
Yes, and if you want to talk about any of the obscure things that I know about that you may not know about, I'm always happy to return the favor.
Yeah, I mean, at least you have a bunch of areas where you have knowledge. I'm, you know, pretty much a one-game gig.
Well, you did know about Isaac Asimov's The Black Widower's Club, and not many people I talk to know about that.
And that's a sad statement in and of itself. More people shouldn't worry about that.
Yes, and you know, there are other opportunities for us to talk about other media-related items. For example, the unopened box set I've been saving for a special occasion of the complete Dark Skies series.
The what?
I always thought that series got a bum rap. Dark Skies. It was this whole, they had this long planned out Bible with this entire alternate history from the assassination of Kennedy to the present, where it was all had to do with aliens. Amazon,
okay.
Amazon had a sale. And I've always wanted to see all the missing episodes I never saw.
All right.
Just remember, all the people involved in the Kennedy assassination had something to do with aliens. Trust me, if you ever get a chance, it's worth watching at least once. But I've been saving the box set for a special occasion.
All right.
Okay, well, that's our flying bathtub segment for the week.
Oh, I think it's time to call it a night.
I think so, too. We'll see you guys next week, and we'll start planning on all those things that we will be doing in the future.
Flying bathtubs. You know, that is just a great podcast name.
I think so, too. That's why I chose it some years ago when I bought the domain.
Let's do it.
Okay. When do you
Once a month.
When do you want to do the first one? And we'll move for the second one from there.
Who do we market it to?
Well, first we
market it. You know, who is our target audience for this?
Well, first we start out with our existing listeners, and we market outward to media.
All 5 of them?
We have over 300 regular dedicated listeners. Between 300 and 400 is about standard. We spike up about 100 or give or take after the second week. So I'd say we have somewhere between 400 and 600 dedicated listeners. Or actually 300 and 400 dedicated listeners. Between 400 and 600 listeners in general. But we can market it to all those people that we know who we could prevail upon to tell their friends. We know
and
you. Tell your friends.
They tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and they tell two friends.
We'll have a pyramid scheme. And if all those friends send us 1 cent, that could add up to a nice chunk of change. You know, I could double the server memory.
With $3?
Well, you know, you have to go on exponentially.
Oh.
You know, eventually we could have the entire world sending us 1 cent.
Yeah, maybe not.
Or maybe the first set of people send us 1 cent and the second set of people send us 2 cents. Okay, now I'm being silly.
All right, let's call it a night.
Okay, well, I will do the closing myself live on the air.
Oh, you will?
Why not?
Hey, do we need to say hi to the tech unicorns? No, tech podcast?
We do. Not only do we want to remind people that we are a part of the Tech Podcast Network, of which there are many other shows, which I should probably get a list and randomly speak out their names as we end our show, but you can find us there, you can find video shows there, you can find audio shows there, and they're all tech-related.
Go tech!
Not all of them are for you, but not everybody likes everything. So go there and find a show you like, but don't stop listening to us.
Please!
Android Buffet is also a project of the Weneca Media Group, creators of fine online quality content, and unfortunately not any profit. And if you wish to contact us, you can dial our voicemail number. That's 201-2-Weneca. And since I don't have a phone in front of me, I can't remember what that translates to in numbers. But listen to another episode, it'll come up. Or just go to your phone. If you wish to email us, you can email us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. We're also on Twitter at Android Buffet. I myself run the Gadget Wisdom website, where I'm hoping to write a pointless article this evening, possibly about the insides of toilets. And, no, I'm serious. Somebody actually commented on what I said about dual flush converters and the concept of putting in a new concentric fill valve, and I wanted to make sure that their reader mail was properly addressed. I can also be found on Twitter running the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Jerry is the creator of Show Analyzer, a program that I hear people like a lot, but I don't use.
That's because you're a Linux weenie. Hi, Pat.
Yes. I did hear from Pat. I'll tell you after the show that I heard from Pat. And he can also be found on Twitter at Jerry_Jones or by email at jerry.jones@gmail.com. Susan is not with us tonight. Susan has been laid off. We're hoping to afford her again soon.
It's her attitude. I ain't putting it up with it no more.
Yes, you know, you get these disloyal employees, and we don't make that much money to begin with, or any. And that brings us to the end of another episode. We hope to see you again next week, when we will once again have a big heaping helping of Android.
And we may even have something, some flying bathtubs to talk about.
Yes, well, we're going to have
to talk about. Because you can never have too many flying bathtubs.
I agree.
Of course, it's the first one that's always the doozy.
Yes. I think we need an official Flying Bathtubs theme song. But I've given up writing and performing music for the show. I still get critics about my droid love song. And no, I will not cut that into the end of the episode. But again, that brings us to the end of another episode. And we hope to see you next week. And Jerry, anything final to add before we let these people go to bed? Or finish up their morning commute, or whatever they happen to be doing as they listen to us.
Peace, folks. Remember, Sprint is awesome.
Yes, I'll agree with that. Peace, love, and flying bathtubs.
That's just awesome.
Yes, I think that should be the title of the episode.
Flying bathtubs!
How about peace, love, and flying bathtubs?
Works for me.
Okay. Bye, Jerry.
Bye.